We'll try and just stick to these for now. So I'm Rachel. I live in Hexham, which is not too far away. Happiest place in the world. Absolutely. I've no idea how they measured that or decided that because nobody asked me. But, you know, it is a wonderful place to live and to be. And it's looking very festive and Christmassy at the moment, which is nice. And I've got two little boys called Toby and Teddy. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about them later on too. So, you know, what a lovely breakfast. Thank you for inviting me. It's been lovely to be here. And that felt really Christmassy, didn't it? Really nice, really nice. And all the guys and the dicky bows and everything. I mean, is anyone sorted? Dare I ask? Is anybody sorted? Anybody actually really sorted for Christmas? Oh my goodness. You're putting the rest of us to shame. You can come and do mine. You know, people are starting, aren't they? Writing cards, ordering presents, wrapping done. You know, I'm certainly not anywhere near sorted. But we do Christmas quite differently in our family. And I'll tell you a bit more about that later on too. And when I was thinking about this morning, I was reminded of a Christmas not too long ago. And I'd been asked to speak at a similar Christmas event down at a church in Durham. And I was pregnant with my second little boy, and he was due towards the end of January. And so I was quite heavily pregnant by December and a bit fed up, a bit swollen, a bit just, you know, ready just get this baby out kind of thing. And so I was going to talk about how Mary must have felt in the build-up to the birth of Jesus, you know, feeling quite excited but nervous and unsure and just uncomfortable. And so I was ready to speak at this event, but things didn't quite go to plan and my waters broke quite early. And so I ended up having my little boy quite premature. So that didn't go to plan, and I definitely didn't speak that year. And, you know, it was all a bit of a blur because he was due towards the end of January and my other little boy had been late. So I kind of thought by this point, I've got a month, if not two, before this baby arrives. But that wasn't quite the case. And it was all a bit stressful. And I was in the hospital and the doctor said to me, look, we need to deliver this baby now. There's a high risk of infection. And I just burst into tears. And I'm not sure if it was the hormones or the stress of the situation, but I just cried to this doctor. I said, you can't possibly deliver him now. I haven't bought him any Christmas presents. And, you know, it didn't bother me that he was going to be premature and would need help breathing and I needed emergency C-section, which is major surgery. I was more bothered that this poor baby wouldn't have any Christmas presents on Christmas morning because he wasn't due till the end of January. And I didn't even have a hospital bag packed or anything sorted. But what bothered me was the fact that I didn't have any Christmas presents for him. Now, you'll be pleased to know that they safely delivered baby Teddy. And he was completely oblivious to the fact that he had nothing to open on Christmas morning. And he's going to be 6 on Monday. So I don't think I'd get away with not getting Christmas presents for him this year. I think I got away with it that once. But it wouldn't happen again now. But, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people in this room that know life's a bit like that. Often things in life don't go as we expect or imagine. And, you know, there's been so many things in my life where I've expected something to happen and life's gone a pretty different direction. And, you know, Teddy's birth is pretty much a perfect example of that. And, you know, we create expectations all the time, don't we? Without even realising, you know, and actually Christmas is a time of year where people do create expectations. You know, maybe we expect to have something nice to open on Christmas morning. Maybe there's a gift that you've been hinting at. Or maybe you expect to have a nice time or to see the family or just to kind of enjoy ourselves. You know, we're told it's the most wonderful time of the year. No pressure, Christmas. Because actually, for a lot of people, it's a challenging time. It's not the most wonderful time of the year. You know, our Christmases aren't always that perfect, are they? You know, our experiences often fall short of our expectations. And, you know, it certainly doesn't look as glamorous as it does in magazines or on the TV. You know, maybe we don't get that gift that we've been expecting. Or, you know, maybe relationships within the family, there's tension, or people fall out, or there's issues there. Or maybe people are ill, or we're missing and grieving for loved ones that we've lost. You know, actually, Christmas can be a really difficult time for lots of people. And if there wasn't so much expectation around having the perfect Christmas, then why would the shops start stocking stuff in August? Why are those Christmas coins out in August? I mean, it's ridiculous. And, you know, why does John Lewis need to spend millions and millions on a Christmas advert feeding us this dream, these expectations of having the perfect Christmas? And I'm sure there's plenty of people in this room who've got stories about Christmases not going to plan, maybe ruining Christmas dinner, or I don't know. Or maybe you've had an awful present. Has anyone ever had a really bad present? Maybe you don't want to admit it, but yeah. Or maybe like me, you've spent Christmas morning in tears. Maybe you've sat there 1 year and it's all just felt a bit too much and a bit overwhelming. Are you noticing a bit of a theme here with the crying and the tears? And, you know, this is me. We'll see if we can get through this without crying. It'll be interesting. But actually, both my boys, Toby and Teddy, have special needs. They're both on the autistic spectrum. And actually, Toby, my oldest son, has quite complex special needs. So he's got severe autism. He's got severe learning difficulties. So he's 8, but he probably functions around the level of a 1-year-old in an 8-year-old's body, which makes life quite interesting. So he doesn't speak. He's non-verbal. He wears nappies. He's got, as I said, severe autism, severe learning difficulties, OCD. I could give you a list. So as you can imagine, life with Toby has looked quite different to how I imagined or expected that it would. And, you know, we've now got lots of strategies in place to help him cope. And, you know, on the whole, he does cope much better with life. But as you can imagine, Christmas time can be quite challenging. Because if you know anything about autism, people with autism like things the same and like things in place. So actually, Christmas has been quite a challenging time for us as a family. And so for a couple of years, we didn't bother with having any decorations or having a tree up or anything like that, just because it just felt like it wasn't worth the effort because it would distress him so much. And actually, he really struggled being around lots of people, and everywhere's busier at Christmas, and there's no way he could cope with sitting around a table, having a meal with the family. And, you know, so one Christmas morning, it just got too much for me. I just sat there and I just cried. You know, I used to love Christmas as a kid. Do you know what I mean? If you think about some of your happiest memories as a kid, well, for me especially, they were around Christmas time. You know, I loved getting an advent calendar on the 1st of December. I loved doing school plays. You know, I was telling someone this week, I always wanted to be Mary. Was anyone in here ever Mary? Yeah, oh, we've got a Mary. That was my dream. I always wanted to be Mary. And every single year, I was the angel Gabriel, which somebody pointed out was a man anyway. But, you know, I loved doing the plays, I loved writing cards, and I loved getting the Argos catalogue and cutting out every single thing that I wanted and making a big list of all these pictures of all these presents that I wanted. And then we would have an Argos catalogue with loads of holes and pages in. But anyway, I just loved Christmas as a kid. And actually, when I was having my own children, I really looked forward to having Christmas and making it magical for them. I had these kind of expectations that it was going to be even more magical, making it magical for them. But actually, that Christmas morning was probably one of the lowest points of my life. I just sat there in tears in my living room and I cried. There was no tree. There was no decorations. There was no plan. We weren't having a Christmas lunch or seeing anything or going anywhere. And, you know, Toby was just laid in the middle of the floor, kicking himself and screaming and hitting himself. And he'd not really slept. And he was so distressed because I'd tried to give him a packet of jelly babies that I'd wrapped up. And he'd just had this huge meltdown because it was so different. And it felt like a little thing, this jelly babies, but it just felt to me like the final straw. It just felt like I've had enough. I can't keep doing this. You know, he was lashing out. He was hurting himself. He was hurting us. And I just thought to myself, you know what? I hate Christmas. I'm done with this. This is not fair. And I think the worst thing was, I had this image in my head, and I was imagining everybody else in the whole wide world enjoying themselves and having a nice day and thinking about all my friends who were having children, and they're all opening these nice presents, and they're all having Christmas lunches, and they're all wearing nice matching Christmas jumpers and having a nice time. And actually, I know that's not the reality, but sometimes we get into those patterns of thinking, don't we, when we think, actually, it's all right for everybody else. And I actually came off social media too at the time. I was used to use Facebook a bit, and I just came off it because I just couldn't cope with looking at everybody else's pictures and lives and going, actually, well, it's all right for you. Because for us, it just felt like a nightmare. And, you know, I've processed and I've dealt with these feelings and emotions since then. And I do still have to constantly come back to God and give him my feelings and give him my disappointments. And actually, I have to stop myself going down patterns of thinking that are not helpful for me. And actually, we do Christmas very differently now. We go on holiday, we go to Centre Parks, and the boys, their Christmas morning consists of, we go to swimming and then we have chicken nuggets and chips by the pool, which works for them. And actually, like a lot of things in life, the problem often isn't our experience. Our problem's our expectations. And when our experiences don't match our expectations. Now, the Christmas story is full of people who have their expectations shattered. You know, things certainly didn't go as planned for Mary and Joseph. It wasn't their idea for Jesus to be born in the stable or to be actually having a baby in the first place. And, you know, when Jesus was born, he had two different sets of visitors, if you know the Christmas story. And they both had very different expectations and experiences. So we're just going to start by looking at the shepherds. And I'm just going to grab my Bible, actually, because I haven't even thought that. Sorry. Thank you. That would help. So we're going to start by having just a quick look at the shepherds and their experience. You know, back then, being a shepherd wasn't a very glamorous job. It's not like the kids with a cute little tea towel on their head. Actually, these people were socially outcast. They were smelly. They lived outside in the fields. And, you know, not many people were very interested in them. Not many people cared about them because they slept outside and they were dirty and smelly and people looked down upon them. But, you know, if you know the Christmas story, you'll know that God cared for them. So I'm just going to read a little bit from Luke. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation of the Bible, which is a little bit different. So if it sounds different, that's why. So I'm just going to read from here. And it says, "That night in the fields near Bethlehem, there were shepherds watching over their flocks. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with blazing glory of God. And the shepherds were terrified, but the angel reassured them, saying, 'Don't be afraid, for I've come to bring you good news, the most joyous news that the world has ever heard. And it is for everyone, everywhere. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a feeding trough.' Then all at once, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, and the very armies of heaven, and they all praised God, singing, 'Glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and good hope given to the sons of men.' When the choir of angels disappeared back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go, let's hurry and find this word, the baby born in Bethlehem, and see for ourselves what the Lord's revealed to us.' So they ran into the village and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying there in the feeding tray. Upon seeing this sign, the shepherds recounted what had happened. Everyone who heard the shepherd's story were astonished by what they were told. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart and often pondered what they meant. The shepherds returned to their flock, ecstatic over what had happened. They praised God and glorified him for all they'd heard and seen for themselves, just as the angel had said." And, you know, I love that line. The angel said, you know, "And this is good news for everyone, everywhere." Now, these shepherds were people who everybody else had disregarded, but God didn't. And, you know, I think they were just expecting another normal night, doing what they did day in, day out. A bit like, you know, when you're on automatic and you're going somewhere and you don't even really think about it, or you're going to work and you just do what you do every day. I think that's what they expected. But God did something different and he blew their minds. He had other ideas. Now, Teddy, my youngest little boy, who I told you about at the start, he's six nearly, and he's not very good at keeping secrets. You know what kids are like, aren't they? And like, I'm starting to buy a couple of Christmas presents. I keep going, don't tell him. And he's going, guess what? We've got you. And you're like, shh, don't tell him. And you know, kids are like that, aren't they? They're just a bit rubbish at keeping secrets. And sometimes when he's playing on his little game console thing, he gets so excited that he like almost shakes with excitement. Have you ever seen a kid just like about to burst? And he gets like that. And he even gets about that about what we're having for tea. He does. It's like if we're having gravy for tea, he's like, we're having gravy. It's amazing. But you know, I bet God felt a little bit like a kid at Christmas. You know, his son had just been born and he wanted to burst with excitement and tell people. You know, there were stars and there was angels and there was singing. And God chose to tell the shepherds that great news, that his son, that this baby, that the rescuer had been born. And you know, the Bible says they were terrified. And I think I would be too. Because, you know, they were just expecting what normally happened and it was completely different. They were ordinary people doing their ordinary job. And God took them completely by surprise and shattered their expectations to tell them that his son had been born. And you know what it's like? If you've ever had some good news, you want to share it, don't you? You want to tell the people you love and you care about. You know, I was offered a new job a couple of weeks ago, and they rang me up to offer me this job, and I was like, oh, thank you. And the first thing I did is I wanted to tell people. I wanted to ring people. I wanted to message people and say, guess what, guess what? This has just happened. This is good news. And God was like that. And actually, he told the people he loved as well. He told the shepherds because he loved them and he cared about them, even when other people didn't. You know, I love the fact that God chose to tell ordinary people first. You know, they weren't royalty. They weren't celebrities or world leaders of the day. They were just ordinary people, just like me, just like you. And it blows me away that God cares enough about us ordinary people to tell us and to bring us that good news. And you know, Jesus had another set of visitors too, the wise men, or the kings as they're sometimes referred to. So we're just going to have a quick look at that as well. And you know, they travelled hundreds of miles to see this new king. And they came from, basically, you'd have the shepherds on one side as the lowest people in society. These people were rich. They were like royalty. And they looked very different. And they'd spent years studying the stars and they knew something significant had happened. But they came in search of royalty and greatness and their expectation was something completely different. And we're just going to have a look at what happened to them. So this is Matthew chapter 2. And again, it's in the Passion Translation of the Bible. And, you know, we often refer to them as the wise men or the kings. But in this passage, they're called spiritual priests from the east. Just to confuse you, just to make sure you're listening. So it says this. Jesus was born in Bethlehem near Jerusalem during the reign of King Herod. After Jesus' birth, a group of spiritual priests, spiritual priests from the east, good job I've got my teeth in, came to Jerusalem and inquired of the people, where is the child who is born king of the Jewish people? We observed his star rising in the sky and we've come to bow down before him in worship. King Herod was shaken to the core when he heard this, and not only him, but all of Jerusalem was disturbed when they heard this news. So he called a meeting of the Jewish priests and religious scholars, demanding that they tell him where the promised Messiah was going to be born. He will be born in Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, they told him, because this is what the prophecy says. And you, little Bethlehem, are not insignificant among the clans of Judah, for out of you will emerge the shepherd king of my people Israel. And then Herod secretly summoned the priests of the east to tell him the exact time the star had first appeared. And he told them, now go to Bethlehem carefully, look there for the child, and when you've found him, report to me, so I can go and worship him too. And they left on their way to Bethlehem, and suddenly the same star that they had seen in the east reappeared. Amazed, they watched it, and it went ahead of them, and stopped directly over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were ecstatic, that they shouted and celebrated with unrestricted joy. And when they came into the house and saw the young child with his mother Mary, they were overcome, falling to the ground, They worshipped him and opened their treasure boxes full of gifts, giving him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And afterwards, they returned to their own country by another route, because God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. You know, they went to see Herod. He was the king at the time. Because actually, if you're expecting somebody significant, you want to go to where significant people live. And that was their expectation. But actually what they found looked completely different to what they imagined. They were looking for someone who would change the world. And what did they find? No palace, no party, just a very ordinary looking child with his mother. Not what they were expecting. And I bet Jesus didn't look like any different to any other baby, really. You know, they were expecting him to be in a palace, and he was somewhere and someone completely different. And you know, I remember a Christmas morning as a child, and we were up really early. I'm the eldest of six children, right? So you can imagine Christmas morning always started like very early, because one of us would be awake, then the rest of us would be awake, and we'd be running downstairs, and there'd be presents and lots of things going on. And the house we lived in had kind of two reception rooms. So we'd been in the front room, we'd had all our presents, there was wrapping paper everywhere. And then we had like a back room, and it had like a gas fire in the back room. And my mum and dad said to my younger brother, "Oh, Adam, will you go and put the fire on in the back room?" Which was just normal to do, to heat the room up so we could go through there. And because there was always loads of kids and babies and toddlers, they had one of these massive fire guards around it, you know, that almost looks a bit like a cage, covering the fire to stop little ones getting burnt. And what my parents had done is they'd obviously bought us some bikes for Christmas and wrapped them up in blankets and just put them near the fire guard. And the reason they'd asked him to go through was to see the surprise. Whereas he was so preoccupied with trying to get this gas fire on that he completely missed the fact that there was two brand new bikes just lent up against the fire guard. And we were all like, "Adam, there's bikes," and he was just like so busy. But we can be like that, can't we? And actually Christmas can be a bit like that. And actually for the wise men it could have been like that. They could have really missed what the real gift was, being preoccupied with their own expectations and trying to do what they thought would happen. You know, there's far more to the Christmas story than a cute little nativity play that the kids do at school. You know, the Christmas story is life-changing. You know, God surprised us all with the greatest gift of all, and he did it in a completely unexpected way. You know, if I was God, I wouldn't have done it that way. I would have wanted a fanfare and everything and, you know, comfort and warmth. And, you know, I wouldn't have come at that time in history when there was no electricity. I would have wanted to be somewhere warm. But actually, God did it his way. And Jesus came so we could see what God is like. And he made a way for us to know God personally. And God chose to tell those two completely different groups of people that this baby was here and he was going to grow up and change the world. And why did he do it? Because he came for us all. No matter what walk of life we come from, we all need a saviour. And this baby was going to grow up living the perfect life, knowing what it was like to face challenges, knowing what it was like for life to not go as he expected either. And he would ultimately die on the cross so that we could know God. And you know, these wise men and shepherds came from completely different walks of life, and I don't think they would have spoke to each other in the street or had very much in common. But one thing that they did have in common was actually they chose to go and see what it was all about. You know, the wise men could have saved years and years of their lives if they hadn't bothered setting off on that journey. And the shepherds too, you know, they could have said, "All right, that's nice, but it's not for me." But actually they chose to go down to Bethlehem and see what it was all about. And actually we can make a choice this Christmas too, to look deeper into the story and discover the real gift of Christmas. So I would challenge you to ask God to surprise you this Christmas. You know, have a look again at the story and ask God to shatter your expectations, that it wouldn't just be another cute story about a baby that the kids do at school. But like the shepherds and the wise men, you would find something life-changing, something that changes your life and your future forever. You know, Jesus came for us all, no matter who we are or where we're from. and he came in a completely unexpected way. You know, I'm personally not particularly a fan of surprises. I like to know what's happening and to be in control. But, you know, having Teddy, baby Teddy, early, and actually being able to have him early and take him home just in time for Christmas those years ago was probably one of the best surprises and the best Christmas presents that I've ever had. And I'm really thankful that God kept him safe and looked after him. But I'm more thankful that God sent another baby into the world, and that at Christmas we can celebrate that baby. So I do want to wish you all a really happy Christmas. I hope that whatever it looks like in your house, however you celebrate it, even like me, if you're having chicken nuggets and chips for dinner, that you have a lovely day and a lovely time to celebrate. But actually my prayer is that actually it's more for you this year, that actually God shatters your expectations and that you find the life-changing gift that is Jesus. Thank you.
It's all right.